Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're glad you're here for some Disney magic. It's a virtual trip report here to get you through your Monday. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Taryn to talk about a very recent trip. So stand by for that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. I know that you're a podcast listener. You love to be connected to Disney in as many ways as possible. And you know what? I'm going to encourage you to grab the audiobook, The Wisdom of Walt, and the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. Two great books you can pick up on Amazon over at thewisdomofwalt.com as well. You can learn a lot about Walt Disney and how he chased down his dreams, got the best out of those around him. And there's many checkpoints throughout these books to see if you're doing the same. Are you maximizing your potential and building relationships with those around you? It's a great history book, and it makes you just get fired up for life. So check out these great books on Amazon or over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of a couple of millennial cupcakes, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1358 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. We're here in the middle of July here in the United States, probably the hottest time of the year. Let's cool down with a great trip report and head to one of the premier vacation destinations in the United States, which I've never been to, but I always heard about when I read October Sky or Rocket Boys by Homer Hickam, because that's where his mom always wanted to vacation to. It's Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Taryn's joining us again. She's been on the show before. What's going on, Taryn?
What's going on, Mike? I'm doing pretty good over here.
How is it to live in a vacation mecca such as Myrtle Beach?
It's fun to see everybody else go to the beach while we have to work.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Like, you know, because, you know, I go down to, I think we all do. We go to Walt Disney World to play. But I mean, I guess locals for Florida are like, it's Tuesday, I got to go to work. You know, when I'm in Walt Disney World, it's like, it's Tuesday, I'm going to the Magic Kingdom. You know, it's not bad. Not a bad deal. All right, well, let's talk about your recent trip so we can get some virtual Disney mojo going to start the week. And you got a unique one here because you stayed somewhere that a lot of folks haven't stayed. So give us the details. When did you go down, and what trip were we talking about? Where did you stay and all that stuff?
All right. Oh, when did we go down? I'm pretty sure this was February, if I remember correctly. We've been once since then. That's why I'm getting confused. But, it was February this year. We don't have annual passes right now. So we decided let's do a trip with just a couple days of park days, and then the rest would be resort stuff and a lot of Disney Springs. So we stayed at the Wyndham Disney Springs, which is one of those ones where you can just walk straight across the bridge and you're in Disney Springs. It was great. We really enjoyed the location. We, even the days that we hadn't planned to be at Disney Springs, we still ended up going there just because that's like the same thing as going home to the hotel. We just went to Disney Springs first. So we really enjoyed that. The hotel was... it was very convenient. It was clean and safe, which is pretty much our standard. Like, we'll stay almost anywhere if it's clean and safe. There were a lot of sort of fees. There were parking fees and resort fees and all those other baloney fees. But it was still affordable. So we enjoyed it. We still try to go a little bit cheaper than that when we can, but for this trip, we knew we would want to be at Disney Springs a lot, so that's why we chose that one this time.
So did you feel like you were missing something because you were, you know, technically not, I mean, you're on property, kind of, sort of, you know, in the Disney Springs area, but, you know, you've stayed at the on-site hotels, so what was that feeling like throughout the trip? I know it's a different trip, you were trying to squeeze in just a little bit extra magic, but was there, you know, did you have kind of that itch like, oh man, I wish I was like at a Pop Century or Riverside or something?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, if we would have had the same type of hotel, but the Disney version, it probably would have cost a lot more. So that part was good. They did have Disney stuff all over the place and the Disney store and decorations and stuff. But if anything, the main perk to us of staying on site is usually the proximity to whatever park we're going to be at the most and extra magic hours. And in this case, the place we were going to be the most was Disney Springs. And they had just brought in that new perk that those Disney Springs hotels also get extra magic hours. So in this case, it actually was better than being at another on-site hotel because we were closest to what we would be doing the most, and we still got extra magic hours anyway. It was kind of perfect.
That's good. And that's what I like. I mean, about Walt Disney World is that you really, truly do have a resort for, you know, basically any budget. And also, you know, geographically, you know, if you're focused on the Magic Kingdom, Contemporary is perfect for that trip. You know,
right.
Like you said, you want to be at Disney Springs, you know, that suits it very well, the Disney Springs hotels. Also, you could end up somewhere like an Old Key West or one of the Port Orleans, you know, it's got boat service. So I like it,
right.
Especially Saratoga Springs too. So talk to us about, you know, having, because we don't hear this very often. That's why I like to explore it. You had a Disney Springs kind of focus stay. So what does that mean, and what does that look like throughout the trip? You know, if that was where you spent a lot of time, because I think a lot of people use it as an afterthought or like, you know, it's just a night that they're just trying to kill, get out of the parks. But I mean, this was kind of your focus. What was that like?
Yeah, it's kind of different. I mean, I'm looking now at the notes I took from the trip, and the first 2/3 of the page is just all Disney Springs resort stuff and dining. And then there's like this little paragraph at the bottom from Animal Kingdom and Epcot. It's just very different than your average trip. We also spent a decent amount of time just hanging out at the resorts. And in fact, we enjoyed the layout of this trip so much that we took another trip like this in, I believe it was May. In May, we stayed at a really cheap, dumpy hotel that we won't go back to. But we also had one resort day and one night staying at the Waldorf Astoria.
Wow.
It cost $30. Don't even ask me how. But we just hung out at the hotel the whole day. It was amazing.
So,
and then we went to Disney Springs for dinner that night.
So what's the Waldorf like, though? I mean, because I've never experienced it, obviously. You know, I've always been curious. I think a lot of our listeners, well, you were there for a day. So what was your experience like?
It was kind of funny. We felt a little bit like imposters. Like there was all BMWs and Mercedes and like Teslas and stuff. And we roll up on our little Honda. It's kind of funny. But it was beautiful. And everything was obviously very clean and professional. Everything was gorgeous. Our view looked out over like a half of a golf course. And I don't think we even got a preferred room or anything. I had cashed in a bunch of points. And paid like $30 for the room. So, I mean, the bathroom, it was spotless, absolutely spotless. It was really nice. We had an espresso machine in our room. I mean, we just stayed there the whole day. It was awesome.
You mean, shoot, if I'm going to be there, I'm staying. That's exactly,
you got my game plan
down to a T.
That's the thing, is that when we're going to be in the parks all day, we will get the cheapest hotel that's clean and safe. And if we're going to be at the hotel all day, we want something really nice. Like we're at like the Yacht Club or Grand Floridian or something. You know, it's like we want something where you actually want to stay there all day.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, why pay for something if you're not going to be there? You know, if you're not going to be there, you got to have a place to sleep. But I mean, I've always said this, every hotel room looks exactly the same when your eyes are closed. You know, who cares?
Yeah. I felt terrible at the Waldorf. We were checking in that morning, getting ready to spend the whole day there. And all these families were scarfing down their breakfast to go run out to the parks. And I'm thinking, stay here. This is awesome.
Exactly. Well, you know, they probably get it more often than some of us. I don't know. That's how I see it. So now you said back at your resort, not the Waldorf, but where you were staying, some of the things you did spa treatments, you even did an archery lesson. So I find that very intriguing because I love when there's unique things that you might not be able to do back home in your hometown. Because like, we have a park near me that has some of the bullseyes, you know, for archery. But I don't have any equipment. I wouldn't have anybody. I've never really shot a bow and arrow. I think that'd be an interesting thing to try. I think they do it at Fort Wilderness, but I mean, what was it like for you?
It was awesome. It wasn't what we expected. For one thing, I think there were about 10 of us, about half were adults and half were children. I think it was about a 90-minute lesson, most of which was safety and training, just learning what to do and how to do it. And everything is very slow and tedious because obviously you've got people shooting bows and arrows. You can't have kids running around, you know?
You got to have the kid. You got to make sure that the first lesson is don't try to, you know, tell the kids, don't try to shoot that apple off your brother's head. You're not an expert yet. Don't do that yet. That's the level. That's the pro level.
Oh, yeah, for real. There was a drum. There was like one beat means get your bow, and then you have to go back to where you go. Two beats means walk towards the starting point. You know, like every single thing, you had to wait for the drum beat, and then someone runs to get their arrows before someone else is done shooting. Then it's like everybody grinds to a standstill. It was interesting.
I think I'm going to sign up for this and wear that old Steve Martin thing where he has the arrow going through his head. You remember that when I was a kid? I think I had one of those. Yeah. I'll show up and be like, it didn't go so well last time I tried this, but I'm here for another shot, you know, and see what they say.
It was a lot of fun until about halfway through, it started pouring down rain, like a Florida rainstorm, and we just kept going. I had makeup in my eyes, pouring down my face. I couldn't see anything, and the little safety goggles were all steamy, and we all just kept going. We did the rest of the lesson in the rain. It was kind of nuts. So here's something people would want to know. When you're aiming your arrow, there's a certain way you have to do it so as not to basically zap your arm.
Yep.
Somehow, the way my husband was doing it every time, the string would slap his arm really bad. He was bruised for days. His whole arm was all purple and blue for days after that.
Well, we're going to have a lot of people just running out to sign up for this now, you know? Let's go do archery.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. We had planned to go to Artist Point for dinner after that. I mean, we took a change of clothes, but we looked and felt so beat up. This, we thought, you know what, it's Disney Springs again. So we skipped Artist Point, but it was a lot of fun. I could see it being more fun if it's not raining.
Yeah.
But the kids enjoyed it, we enjoyed it, everything was great. And if anybody wants to do that, they should allow plenty of time to get to the archery part. Even when you get to Fort Wilderness on the boat or the bus or whatever, then there's still a lot of walking or internal bus systems to get there. It's like walking through Magic Kingdom back to front like four times over. It's kind of crazy.
Nice. All right. Well, you mentioned Disney Springs. Let's talk about some of the cool stuff you did over there. One of the things you mentioned in the notes was an art of shaving treatment. Now, I wouldn't even know what that's like. I use like a manual razor, and I got it in the mail as like a promo, and I got it. No kidding. It was at least 15 years ago. I replaced the little cartridges, the blades, but I still use the same stem for probably 15 years ago. I wouldn't know what to do with a fancy shaving treatment. What, tell us about, you know, going to these high-end type stores at Disney Springs and experiencing them.
Okay. So I was going to the spa the one day, and I asked my husband, what do you want to do? I told him about this art of shaving thing. He says, no, I don't want somebody else shaving me because they always do it wrong, or I don't know. Anyway, something or other. So it turns out they also have what they call a scalp therapy treatment.
Ooh, now it's some that kind sounds of, good. I like that.
It's some kind of scalp massage, and they put like oil and stuff on there that's good for your scalp and your hair and all that. And then they obviously wash your hair when they're done. What surprised me is it was only $25.
Wow.
So I thought, well, if you don't want to do the whole shaving thing, let's just do that. He said he enjoyed it, but that he probably wouldn't do it again. He's not a really, I don't know how to describe it. I don't think he enjoys being sort of pampered like that. Like it was more just sort of like, get it over and done with, like let's just do this. he was actually interested to get his hair cut, which he asked them about, but they didn't have any availability at the time. But I think he enjoyed it, but it's just not his thing. So he probably wouldn't do that again.
Well, it's kind of like a little, you know, kind of like a mini massage type treatment, you know, for $25. Yeah. You can't beat it. I mean, you're right. That's a really nice little splurge. It's a lot cheaper than I was expecting. I'm thinking super expensive
compared to what I was spending at the spa.
Oh my gosh, what do you want to know? So, now, which spa did you go to? Saratoga? Did you go to Grand Floridian? What'd you do?
I went to the Grand Floridian, yeah.
So what was that like? Because I've been there too. I got my massage there the day after my first marathon, and I was a fish out of water there. So what'd you think?
I liked it. I got the apple hydrotherapy experience, and then I got a manicure. The hydrotherapy thing was cool. As far as I remember, there was like a soak, like a tub soak part, and then some kind of a scrub maybe, or like a brushing thing, and then like a massage with a body butter kind of thing. I don't remember the details, but it was good. And everything there was great. I took a lot of pictures of all the steam room and the little lounger things where you can lay out and relax. And they had all kinds of toiletries and snacks and all sorts of stuff. Good showers, too. Apparently, at the Grand Floridian, the lounges are separate. There's a ladies' one and a gents'. Whereas at Saratoga, they apparently have a co-ed lounge. So, like, if you're there, husband and wife, you can both go to the same lounge together, which is a big deal for some people, obviously.
Yeah, my wife and I used to do couples massages about once every 3 months or so. We quit doing that once Mallory and Paige got a lot more expensive. Paige went off to college. Mallory's doing competitive cheerleading, so that went out of the that's out of the budget now. But yeah, that's a fun thing. That'd be a great kind of an anniversary gift. To do.
Yeah.
Because in the Grand Floridian, that is, it's super fancy. Like, I was the same way. Like, when I went there, I wanted to take pictures. I love sharing stuff with everybody on social media, anything that has to do with Disney. But then again, I was like, nah, I'm not going to take pictures because I don't know if that's cool. It's kind of like, you know, like a private locker room kind of situation. I didn't know. It was so fancy, but it was a neat experience. I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, it was really great. And that was, I think that was the day after our two park days, or maybe the day in between. So we had kind of been running hard the day before. It was nice to just hang out and relax. And I think that was the same day. We did that in the morning, then the archery lesson. And then we skipped Artist Point. We decided to go back to Enzo's Hideaway. That had just opened right before our trip. And we had been there the first night just to grab a drink before dinner. But we liked it so much that we went back a second time to get dinner there. And we really loved it. That was our favorite place at Disney Springs until, what did we try this last time? Wine Bar George. We went there on opening night on our trip in May. And that is not a favorite. But Enzo's and Wine Bar George are both pretty awesome.
Okay, so these are both really, really new destinations at Disney Springs that people might be curious about for their next trip, but obviously have never, you know, a lot of us haven't had the opportunity to get there yet. So what was it about Enzo's that made this your favorite place until, you know, George moved down the block and took the fire away? So what about it? Like, tell people why they should go to Enzo's.
I think for Enzo's, the drinks were good. We got the charcuterie board with all the cheeses and meats and stuff. That was good, but it is expensive. So In the future, I would kind of figure on that being the bulk of our dinner, that we would maybe get like an appetizer and the charcuterie board. We didn't know it was going to be that much food, so we ended up taking a bunch to go. But the prices are a little bit high, but the food is really good. The service is great. We noticed pretty much all the servers seem to be from Italy. So they actually know what they're talking about with these foods and dishes and that. And they are super attentive to detail. Like, there was this one little guy, every time he got a minute, he went back over to this table that wasn't being used because it was wobbly. And he kept trying to reset or fiddle with it somehow. He was obsessed with making sure this table would sit just right and straight so they could use it again. You know, like other restaurants, it's like, yeah, that one wobbles, deal with it.
Exactly. Well, we're going to put, they have kids. That'll be the least of their worries. Yeah. Put them there.
No, they were really, you know, like they see a fork is slightly crooked. They'll straighten it out as they're walking by. It was really a lot of attention to detail. We like that.
Nice. Okay, so give us a little bit of Wine Bar George. Again, one of the newest, but if not still the newest for right now, destination at Disney Springs. So what's special about this place?
That place was great. Again, we kind of thought we're just swinging by to grab something, grab a drink on our way to dinner. We ended up canceling dinner because we stayed there instead. Of course, they have all kinds of different wines and drinks and all of that. That's great, especially if you really know what you're looking for. Of course, that's going to be wonderful. We had no idea what we were looking for. And so what we liked is that on the menu, they have kind of like, these are like our top 10 recommendations or something like that, with a little commentary under each one. And the one that I got, George, the wine guy George had said, this is the, what did he say? It was something like the best red wine for the price in the world today. Like if you're looking for something in this price range, this is the very best wine that you're going to have anywhere. Hmm. And that's what I got. And I loved it.
Nice.
Normally I just look at the menu and I'm like, I do not know what any of these wines are, you know, like you just pick one.
Yeah, but a lot of times it's just overwhelming unless you are a wine connoisseur, you know, and I'm not.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just like, give me something close to a Riesling. You know, that's what I always say. Yeah. That's what I like.
I don't know of the 2014 Chateau wherever Chardonnay something. I don't know what that is. It could be terrible. What do I know?
That's right.
So, but what we didn't expect is that the food there was amazing. Was really, really good. We got some kind of chicken skewers with Asian slaw. That was good. We got, what else did we get? Oh goodness, I don't remember. We got several dishes there. I wonder if I have pictures here somewhere. Oh, I know we had, my husband got an olive oil, what was it? A lemon and olive oil cake with candied Kalamata olives. It sounds disgusting. It's one of the best cakes I've ever had.
That sounds,
it was very good.
Let's just say interesting. It sounds interesting.
Oh, and here we go. We had a caprese salad with fresh mozzarella. There was a chicken thing. We had some kind of grilled octopus appetizer. We got like 3 or 4 appetizers. And then I finished with the chocolate tasting experience. So they give you dark chocolate, milk chocolate, and white chocolate, and then 3 little pours of wine that go with each of those.
Okay, now you have my attention. I'm ready. Okay, now I'm invested. All right, I was out on the octopus, but the chocolate experience count me in.
Oh, and the coolest thing is we had looked this place up online before, and we knew what George looked like. So the whole time I'm thinking, ooh, keep an eye out, we might see him. He looked like just any other guy, which impressed me to start with, because he was just wearing jeans and a shirt. And he never sat still for a minute. He was on top of everything, greeting customers, checking on servers, answering questions, bringing people water. Like, he was doing such menial tasks that I wouldn't have thought that, like, this is the big shot of the restaurant. Here, he's happy to do anything. We really like that. And when the chocolate experience dish came to our table, we had just been speaking to him and congratulating him and so on. And the plate came and George said to the server, would you like me to do it or you think you got it? And the server says, yeah, no, I think I got it. Like, they had obviously been training a lot. And even then, George didn't stay to, like, micromanage him and listen to how he did it. He trusted him, you know what you're doing, and he went off and helped somebody else. That's... And we just really thought that was nice to have the sort of the name behind the brand. He's actually willing to do the work.
Yeah, that's cool to hear because, you know, we're hearing that more and more, these restaurateurs, you know, really being hands-on and, you know, not just, like, standing there, you know, on some kind of a pedestal looking down upon their restaurant, but... getting in there, getting their hands dirty, getting involved with the guests, getting feedback, you know, giving tips, you know, very hands-on. I'm glad to hear that. And yeah. I can tell you really like this place. I'm not really a wine drinker, but, you know, I love that, you know, not Walt Disney World as a whole has something for everybody, but now Disney Springs is really kind of a microcosm of Walt Disney World in general. There really is something, you know, I'm more of a deluxe burger Blaze pizza type guy, but that's cool. You know what? There's some upscale stuff there too.
You know, I tried the whole night to get a good picture of George. He didn't stand still for a second. I have so many blurry pictures. That's how busy he was running around, just helping everyone and checking on everything. Oh, and they have a, it's like a little counter service place right next door where you can kind of pick up fixings for kind of like a picnic, you know, like meats and cheeses and breads and stuff. You can pick out what you want and take it to go and have your little picnic somewhere on the water side, I guess, at Disney Springs. It's really cool.
And that's called Snack Bar George. No, just kidding. I don't know what it is. But that'd have been a good idea.
It's called something like the Market or something. I don't remember what it's called.
They missed out. The Snack Bar George. But anyway. All right. So I want to hit some other things before we get out of here because we don't have a ton of time. But you were there during Festival of the Arts. So,
yes.
You know, not a lot of folks have been there, only gone on a couple of years. People might be planning on, you know, people are booking 2019 trips left and right now. What's your mini review of Festival of the Arts?
We loved it. That was pretty much what we planned to do this whole trip. We were going to do 2 days at Festival of the Arts. We did a couple hours at Animal Kingdom, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But yeah, Festival of the Arts was awesome. We saw a ton of performances and ate a bunch of little things from the food booths and the color by number thing. That was fun. And we saw a lot of stuff. And then the highlight for us was the Broadway show. We got the dining package with, what is it? It's Rose and Crown. So we had lunch there. And then that evening we went to the show. And what we found was, you had to still line up ahead of time, even though you had the dining package fast pass thing. But we found that there's like 3 or 4 rows right at the front by the stage that are almost next to the stairs. And then the next row behind that is longer because it goes out in front of the stairs. That's where we sat. And so there was literally nobody in front of us except the stage. And so when the performers were kind of coming onto the steps in that front section, they were right in front of us personally. Like I have so many photos and videos because they were right in front of us. There wasn't anybody else blocking our view at all. And my husband's not really that into musicals and Broadway stuff. And he said that was his favorite part of the show, of the trip. I mean, it was really great.
So is this something you think that you'll plan a trip down for annually or at least, you know, every couple, 3 years to, I mean, is it a big enough draw for you to go down again, just, you know, to make that your primary focus?
Yeah, I think out of everything, I would say Festival of the Arts is our favorite, or certainly my favorite festival. I mean, we like the others, Flower and Garden and Food and Wine and all that, but the Food and Wine especially is just so crowded and so hot that it just comes to be a little bit crazy, whereas Festival of the Arts is at this beautiful, coolish time of year, and there's so many things to see and interesting stuff going on everywhere you look. There's just more and more stuff going on. Like I had this whole, the little Times guide has so much stuff on it. I had to make a schedule of all the things I wanted to do to dash between all these performances. Otherwise, I wasn't even going to see them. Like there was so much going on.
That's awesome. I got to get down. You know, we go down for marathon, so we just miss it because obviously we go home and that's when it starts. But you have to figure that out sometime. I can't get down there as much as I'd like, but it looks interesting and I want to give it a shot. And everybody gives rave reviews, so that's awesome to hear. Now, you did mention you went to Animal Kingdom too for just a little bit. So tell us about that little window of time over at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. So my husband hadn't been on Flight of Passage yet. So we wanted to just go there for just a couple hours for that. So I booked fast passes for Flight of Passage early in the morning, and I think the park was opening at 7 or something awful, so we rope dropped it. We went straight down to Pandora, but we did Navi River Journey, and of course there was no one even in the line, So we just went straight through that two or three times over, just walked right on. And then we went and did our Flight of Passage Fast Pass. Well, then it turns out we had other friends who also had Fast Passes for Flight of Passage, but then they weren't able to make it. So I guess this is the first time for me that I learned how to do that change party thing in the app. I don't know how new that is, but it was new to me. So I tried to change party from their fast passes they had to change them to our name. And then I found out a tiering system still applies. So we had not used all three of our fast passes, so we couldn't get another tier one. And so I thought it was lost. And then I said to Anthony, well, what if we try to just burn two more fast passes really fast before this other fast pass expires? So that's what we did. We legged it over to Triceratops Spin, which we had never done. That was awful. But after it was over, we went to It's a Bug's Life. We just tapped in there, but we didn't actually stay for the show.
Oh, I love that show. Underrated.
I do too, but I mean, we can do it anytime.
It's true.
So we just tapped in and walked right back out again and ran. And while we're running, I could then eventually change party on those fast passes so we could use our friends' fast passes after all. And we went and did Flight of Passage a second time.
So did your husband like it? Was it something he liked?
Yeah. Yeah, he loved it. And he loved both of them, but he was especially happy that we got to do them both twice or more. While everybody else, I mean, at this stage, goodness, I think Navi River Journey was about 90 minutes and Flight of Passage was more like 180, I think.
Yeah, crazy.
And we had done them both twice. And this is like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Man, you guys were like living well that morning.
Yeah, we just left all those angry people in the line and we went back to Epcot to the Festival of the Arts for the second day.
Let's get out of here before they're onto us. We're leaving the park. That's the way to do it. That's awesome.
Now, so yeah, it worked well, but oh man, I wish I would have known that change party thing only works within the tier system.
Well, you got your exercise and you got to have one horrible extra experience. You know, that's according to you. it's like the poor man's Dumbo. That's it. Okay, so before we get out of here, so we have just a couple minutes left, a couple of things I want to talk about. And I want you to pick which one you think our audience would like to know more about, because two other things on the list, you did a wine tasting at Jiko, which sounds very interesting, but also brunch over at Raglan Road. So which one of those two do you think is more unique that maybe our audience should know about? Because I think both of those are kind of unusual experiences.
Well, I'm going to go with the Jiko thing. Raglan Road is a 10-second review. It was good, healthy, interesting breakfasts, and we'd go again, but that's about it. But the wine tasting, that was super cool. I'm originally from South Africa, and the whole wine tasting event was about South African wine and its history. Apparently, they went through a terrible time where South African winemakers were dropping like flies, and then Jiko decided they wanted to do all South African wines on their menu when they opened. And so they went out there with their bulging wallets, of course, to pick out wine. And the South African winemakers welcomed them with open arms and were so appreciative that they gave them the very best of everything and exclusive wines, amazing pricing. And they just were so happy for someone to believe in them and help them that they gave them everything. So they had really, really good wines. They, of course, the same thing, they paired them with cheeses and chocolates and fruits and stuff. And they taught us about what types of meals you would pair them with. But we just learned so much and it was really interesting. She said that the wines themselves are different every week. It's only on Wednesday they do this. The wines are different every week, so you could go back over and over and over again and never have the same experience twice.
Wow, that's cool because, you know, so many... I think experiences like that obviously are geared towards the You know, the people who's down, you know, folks that maybe are down there that are, you know, they're foodies. You know, that's why they go to Walt Disney World, because they have restaurants like Jico and California Grill and Flying Fish and so forth. But also, I mean, I would think that would bring out locals, because it's not a one and done experience. Now,
right.
Where did you sign up for this? Like, where did you even hear about this? Because this is, again, off the radar a little bit.
I want to say, I think I might have signed up online. I think they have it on the website. And it's only like $20 or $30, I think.
Wow.
One of the couples that was there had been there so many times. They were friends with the hostess. They greeted her with a hug and a kiss, you know, like family.
That's cool. That's interesting. Yeah. You know, what it sounds like to me, I like how they're supporting an economy that can really use it, and that, you know, it's mutually beneficial, because they're getting some great, you know, high quality, unusual wines out of it that they can, you know, that fit perfectly with the theme of Jico. But I mean, also the folks in South Africa are getting, you know, they need this, you know, that's helping them sustain their way of life. So I love hearing right. that kind of stuff, but it sounds to me very much like experiences you would have on Cruise Line, you know, like with all the tastings they have there. It sounds very similar.
That reminds me, there was one wine, I don't remember if we tasted it, but one of the wines they have at Jico, it's grown by a man who has his winery obviously out in South Africa. And when he heard what they were doing with Animal Kingdom Lodge when it was first being built, he said that he believes in not too many years, the only place that our children will be able to see wild African animals is at a place like Animal Kingdom Lodge, that they won't be around in the wild anymore. And so he wanted to help Animal Kingdom Lodge get going and stay strong. That's why he wanted to work with them with their wine department. But in turn, Disney was so passionate about what he was doing, trying to make conservation efforts in that they made a partnership that every time they sell one of his wines, they send him back a portion of the profits to help with the conservation of the same animals out there in Africa. So I thought that was really cool.
That is cool, because I think when you first start thinking about Disney, going to a Disney destination, it's all about, you know, Mickey Mouse and fairies and dwarves and, you know, fantasy land type images. But really, when you get down to a lot of it, you know, a lot of it is conservation and, you know, ecology and things like that. I mean, Disney, you know, don't get me wrong. I know they're a business that's there for profit. That's the main focus. That's what they do. However, I do like to see partnerships like this, because as a Disney fan, that makes me feel better. Like, they're making a lot of money on me, but I'm glad that they're putting some of it back. They're not putting it all back, but they're putting some back to just better, you know, situations where they can. And this is a great example. I'm glad you shared that today, because that makes me feel good.
And while they're doing it, they're getting back that guy's very best wine because of the goodwill between them. We're getting better wine and at better prices because of that whole situation. You know, it's like everybody benefits. Even if you look at it from a purely selfish point of view, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, funny how that works with Disney. They always get something back, you know, but what can you do? Well, Taryn, it's been a great show, and I appreciate it, because it's a very different type trip. It was fun to talk about it. You know, you did some resort hopping, got some experiences in the resorts, but a lot of Disney Springs Hotel. We don't get to talk about that very much on the show, so I'm glad you took the time to come on, and we'll have to do it again sometime. So thanks again, and have a great Monday.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, don't forget, today's show brought to you by our two great sponsors, thewisdomofwalt.com, two awesome books. You got the original focused on Disneyland, that's The Wisdom of Walt, and the newer book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focused on Walt Disney World. So check out these two great books. You can get them in audio version. You can get an e-version right there for your iPad or your Kindle. Or, hey, if you're old-fashioned, get the paper copy. And you can even get it signed by author Jeff Barnes. So check it out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And while you're down at Walt Disney World, don't stand in lines. Those people that are standing 180 minutes for Flight of Passage, they don't know about touring plans. They're going the wrong way. They should be doing something else and then come back. Maybe the line will only be 170 minutes, but they're not, you need to get fast passes. That's the number one thing. But hey, if you want to avoid the lines, touringplans.com has the information you need for just a few bucks a year. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And thanks again to everybody who supports the show with your purchases on Amazon. Just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks so much for that. All right, so for Taryn, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Thanks again for checking in. time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.